Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Kathy Stack, advisor for evidence-based innovation at the Office of Management and Budget. So, Kathy, I talk to my guests a lot about the use of collaboration and partnerships among agencies, branches of the government, and with the private sector to achieve mission results. I'd be interested, how are you leveraging partnerships and collaboration to improve operations and program outcomes?
So I'm taking advantage of an opportunity that I got back in the beginning of the administration when OMB got its own innovation fund. It was called the Partnership for Program Integrity Innovation, and it was a three-year one-time appropriation that recently expired, so it doesn't exist anymore. But the charge was basically to say, hey, if the federal government is going to reduce improper payments and improve efficiency in programs that are administered by states, where we give the money to the states, we need them as partners to figure out the solutions, to build out the new ideas. And so we need to create a forum that enables the states to come in and problem solve with us. So we created something called the Collaborative Forum. And the National Academy of Public Administration had a contract to facilitate that work. And it was amazing in that OMB, as an agency, generally is reliant on other federal agencies to feed information to us about what states think. Well, this collaborative forum gave us an opportunity to get the state folks in the room with the federal agency folks from multiple agencies, look at this larger view of what we're trying to do, and don't we all need to work together to fix all of these, like, siloed problems? And so it started amazing relationship building that has enabled us not just to form relationships with states, but with a lot of other outside partners. So, you know, state associations, the National Governors Association, the NASIO, the state CIOs, the American Public Human Services Association. Those are just a few of some of the state groups that have been working with us who are now kind of taking up this interest in not just efficiency and operations, but also how can we think about outcomes and results and using evidence and data to support decisions. In addition, we've got a lot of think tanks, the Coalition for Evidence-Based Policy, Brookings, AEI, Urban, who are very engaged in this evidence movement. So we're bringing them into the conversations. We've got foundations, a number of foundations who are quite active, the Edna McConnell Clark Foundation, the Arnold Foundation, Bloomberg, Gates, to name a few. And they're really looking to seeing the federal government as much more of a partner, and if we can figure out common ways of thinking about using data and evidence, everyone benefits. Academics. So there's an exciting new development, something called J-PAL, and J-PAL North America, which is formed, led by Harvard and MIT, to create teams that can work with federal, state, or local governments to run randomized experiments to determine what alternative strategies get better outcomes. And, hey, it's basically free. So it's created this sort of contest mentality where if you're a government, you come up with a really good idea that needs to be tested. Well, you've got academics there ready perhaps to come in and help you do that. And then lastly, interestingly, IT firms, that's not surprising. They see the need to build data infrastructure. So we've got a lot of private sector folks who are willing to come to the table, not necessarily thinking purely about themselves, but thinking about what kind of data standards and data infrastructure and business requirements, if we standardize them, would enable much more efficient IT build. And then it's the auditors. So this is my favorite. You go talk to auditors, and there's a guy, Rich Raisa, at the Department of Education's Inspector General's office, who spent decades going out and auditing schools who ran Title I programs who didn't have adequate documentation of how they were using their dollars in compliance with the law. And, you know, you can be an IG and you can write up those findings year after year after year. And then after a while, you step back and say, what does any of this have to do with making dollars work better for kids and helping them learn. And so we now actually have quite a few people who have come from the auditing community, people, frankly, who are still at GAO, who say there's got to be a better way. Mm-hmm. And they are rallying around the idea of how can we use modern IT to develop data systems where we can trust data quality and measure performance and outcomes and move from compliance-based, activity-based reporting to getting everybody to focus on the performance measurement and the outcome measurement that really matters.
And the results, right?
And the results.
So I was wondering what made or what's the impetus for kind of marrying evidence with innovation? Because when I think of evidence, I think of program evaluation, I think of methodology. I don't necessarily think that that's innovative, but I guess there's a reason for the combination. Could you tell us why?
Sure. So I'm going to actually just put in the context of transitions from one administration to the other. Every administration comes in and has their ideas for how we should be innovating. And hey, it's their ideas. They sound good. Sometimes the people who are doing the projects feel good about it, but they're usually done with discretionary resources, which we have limited discretionary resources in government. And then when you move from one administration to the next administration, the new team comes in and they want to do their innovations. And the first thing they do is they take the money that was used on the prior innovations and they put them in the new thing. So there's a sustainability question there. If you're running an innovation, how do you demonstrate that it makes a difference enough that the next guys are going to want to keep it? So that's really the big push. Now, the second piece is having been at OMB all these years and lived through every push from every new political team in a cabinet agency about why they've got the answers, they've got the good ideas, you have people coming in from the outside presenting all their good data about the number of people being served and how good people feel about the programs. And after you've heard that for several decades and you've tried a zillion things and nothing seems to pan out, you get very skeptical. And what I've learned is that if you bring forward really, really, really strong evidence with multiple randomized control trials saying this approach has been found to work over and over and over again and is getting good results, particularly if it saves money, that is the most compelling story you can ever tell, and it goes so far in terms of bringing the leadership of the administration around it, Congress, it becomes bipartisan. So my dream here is you really do need to measure these, that we know we've got to get out of stale ways of doing things. We know we need to innovate, but innovation for innovation's sake may lead us down the wrong path. So if we can find the right evaluation strategies at the right points in the evidence, in the innovation development. You know, you're not going to do a randomized control trial right out of the box, but you do want to do innovations that when you want to demonstrate that they're ready to go to scale, if you can lay a good random assignment evaluation on top of that, you have something.
Great. I mean, that's a wonderful response. But turning to the future, can you tell us more about what's next in the evaluation or the evidence and innovation agenda?
So I think of it as really enlisting states and localities in a big way to see themselves as partners in building an evidence base. I think one of the problems that we've had with getting people excited about evaluation is if you're a state or locality, you're saying, I don't want to be told by Washington what works because I know I'm different. I've got particular circumstances, and I don't need Washington telling me that I've got to use one of these three things that are sitting in a What Works clearinghouse. And the fact is that we have so many dollars that are going out the door in grant programs, state and local assistance, that there's no, they could be engines of learning, but we haven't constructed them so that they can do that. So I think that there's really an opportunity with some of these new program designs like Pay for Success, Performance Partnerships, some of our tiered evidence, where states could be implementing tiered evidence programs with their funding. Localities could. New York City, Mayor Bloomberg had a great model that I described before of this Center for Economic Opportunity, where they had their own innovation fund and they were testing things that worked in the city of New York to figure out how they could be scaled up in the school system or the correctional institutions. And if we can get people to see that this is really not about top-down evaluation, we're going to tell you what you have to do. This is about aggregating the results of lots of experiments in lots and lots of different places so that when it comes together, communities can look at that research base and say, ah, there are some communities like me who did this approach and they turned things around. That's what I want to do.
So, Kathy, what advice would you give someone who's considering a career in public service?
I would say go for it. But go in with your eyes wide open and recognize that it takes time to learn the ropes, learn out how to navigate the bureaucracy. It can be a very frustrating place unless you see the opportunities. I think the way you learn to navigate the bureaucracy is you latch on to at least one mentor who can help you understand how to overcome the hurdles, how you work behind the scenes and build coalitions and find partners who are trying to get things done, how you do the advance work before you have a meeting so that when you go into the meeting, you know clearly, here's the result I want to get. I need everybody to sign on to it. I need there to be a clear set of action steps coming out of it. And that way, those big meetings become productive as opposed to debacles, like, wow, you know, where did we get into this mess? I think of it as, especially when you're new, you need to be laser focused on doing a good job. That's great. Everybody has to be, certain things have to have your laser focus. But over time, as you get a little smarter, mm-hmm. you also have to step back and have what I call soft eyes mm-hmm. to look at the holes, look at the gaps, look at the things that aren't getting done that need to get done if you're going to have the results and achieve the outcomes you want. And sometimes the best way to see those things is to step outside your organization. I think my times at the Department of Education were absolutely critical for me understanding how to go back into OMB and do the right things that were going to enable the various layers and offices elsewhere in the Department of Education to all be pointing in the same direction and get something done.
Well, Kathy, thanks for coming in today. It was great to have you. But I'd like to thank you more importantly for your dedicated service to the country.
Well, thanks very much. I think I have one suggestion for anybody who found this interesting. There is on the OMB website a memo called Next Steps in Evidence and Innovation. And it was issued last summer, co-signed by the director of OMB, the head of the Office of Science and Technology Policy, the head of Domestic Policy Council, and the head of the Council of Economic Advisors, really sending a very strong signal to agencies about the importance of evidence and evaluation, but also including an appendix with a whole host of tools and ideas and things that they could learn about, and also announcing our OMB workshop series. But if you Google OMB-13-17, it will take you right there. And if there's anything that you see there that's of interest to you, I encourage you to pursue it. And there's also a email address called OMB Evidence. So if you have a question or a recommendation, you can send it to us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Kathy Stack, Advisor for Evidence-Based Innovation at the Office of Management and Budget. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.